Well, good morning again, and welcome. We're in a series, Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at Daily Bread, and we're looking at Moses and the children of Israel as they leave the land of bondage, oppression, and injustice, and head towards the promised land. In the middle, they're in the wilderness. And isn't it true sometimes that our life seems like a journey, doesn't it? Our faith life seems like a journey, and sometimes we feel like we're in bondage, sometimes we probably feel like we're wandering in the wilderness, and other times we may feel like we're in the promised land, but like the Israelites, there's some battles to be fought even in the promised land, but each step of the way, God is with us. And so we pick up the story. The Israelites are now out of Egypt through God's miraculous hand, and they're wandering in the wilderness, and they've been in the wilderness about a month and a half, and they run out of food. So in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they'd come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out in the desert to starve this entire population." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and to gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds this morning. So this morning, we continue the series, Follow the Fire, and we're looking at Daily Bread. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about the CEO from Chick-fil-A, and he really wanted an audience with the Pope, and he worked really hard for an audience with the Pope, and finally, the Pope gave him an audience, and so they sat down, the Pope and the CEO from Chick-fil-A. They exchanged some niceties, and then finally, the CEO from Chick-fil-A said to the Pope, "Well, I wonder if I could make an offer to you," and the Pope said, "Very well, go ahead," and he said, "Well, I wonder if for $1 million, you'd change the phrase in the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And the Pope said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't do that." And so they talked for a little while longer, and the CEO from Chick-fil-A took another run at it. He said, "Well, I wonder for $5 million, if you change that phrase from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And the Pope said, "No, we cannot do that." And finally, after a little while, the CEO from Chick-fil-A said, "Let me try one more time. What if we gave you $20 million to change that phrase from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken?'" And the Pope said, $20 million will do it." And so later that day, the Pope was with this whole audience of cardinals, and he said, "Well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is we got a $20 million account from Chick-fil-A." And everybody applauded and clapped, and finally one of the cardinals said, "Well, what's the bad news?" And the Pope said, "Well, we lost the Wonder Bread account." I know, it didn't really happen. But anyway, we're looking at Daily Bread this morning, and I'd like us to think about the secret to content and happiness. How happy are you this morning, or in life in general? How content are you in life in general? The great philosopher and psychologist Carl Jung said there's five things that we need for happiness. And he said those five things are: we need to have health, mental and physical health. And he also said we need to have friendships, close friendships around us. And he said we need to be able to perceive beauty in art and in nature. And then he said we need to have work. We need to be able to sustain ourselves and feel satisfied in our work. And finally, we need faith. We need a religious or philosophical viewpoint that helps us get through the vicissitudes of life, the hills and valleys of life. And honestly, I think that last thing is the most important thing at all. And I think in this morning's reading, there's some secrets that we can learn from going through the hills and valleys of life and what it means to trust God and have faith in God. And so the people of Israel have left Egypt. Can you imagine what it was like? 400 years of slavery and oppression. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your whole lineage has been in slavery and oppression all of your life. Moses comes along, leads the people out through a series of miraculous events, plagues, and finally God parts the waters of the Red Sea. They're able to go through on dry ground, and then as the Egyptian army follows them, the waters fold in, and they're freed forever. They have a moment of celebration on the banks of the Red Sea, and then they head out into the wilderness. And the first chapter is, you'll recall that they ran out of water, and you know what it's like to run out of water if you've ever sort of hiked in the desert, even the wilderness, and couldn't find water. And so the people come upon this oasis, and they find time that the water is bitter, and they grumble and complain to Moses, and then Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells him to take a tree and throw it into the water, and then the waters turn sweet. We don't know whether that tree was maybe burnt, hit by lightning, and maybe it was charcoal, and those kind of charcoal qualities purified it, or some other quality, but somehow the water became purified, and then the people set out, and then after a month and a half, they run out of food. Now, they were told to take food from Egypt, and no doubt they did. It's been a month and a half, but they ran out of food. Have you ever, any Survivor fans out there for the series Survivor? It's been on a long time now, but do you watch that, right? And this perfectly nice group of people, now they're all kind of alpha males and females, right? But they seem like a pretty nice group of people, and they throw them on some desert island somewhere, right? And they have to fend for themselves. They can take one or two things, I don't know, but they can't take any food, right? And then after a few days without food, things get pretty desperate, and the nerves begin to get taut, and then after a month, it's really bad, and they start going after each other. And I can only imagine, after a month and a half, it's not on an island, but it's in a wilderness, and the people's nerves are frayed, they're hungry, they're upset, and they come to Moses, and they grumble and complain. Now, this isn't the first time they grumble and complain. In fact, this begins to be sort of one of the characteristics of the people. And we might ask ourselves, when we face adversity and difficulty and challenge, do we grumble and complain, or do we go to the Lord in prayer? The writer here says the Lord tested them. So the Lord tested it, and sometimes God tests us. And so God speaks to Moses and miraculously provides manna for every day. God tells Moses that there's going to be manna every day somehow out in the wilderness. Now, a friend of mine, Tom Turpin, the the insect guy at Purdue, said there is an insect in the desert that produces frass that is sometimes sweet and edible. So if you don't know what frass is, it's droppings. But anyway, I don't know if it's that that God somehow miraculously provided, but according to Moses, it tasted like honey and coriander seed. Now, I don't know what coriander seed tastes like. I tried to look around for that, couldn't find it. But I know what honey tastes like, and I like honey. So we don't know whether God somehow miraculously took a natural event and multiplied it 1,000 times. God often uses the natural world to provide supernatural things to us in a supernatural way. But in any case, the people had daily manna. And then were that not enough, then God provided quail. Now, once again, there's quail in the region, and we don't know, somehow the quail just landed on the ground. They've sort of nested, and the people were able to pick it up and were able to have their meal. Now, maybe the quail were tired after the flight across the Red Sea. Once again, we don't know. Maybe God, again, uses some kind of miraculous sort of turn events in the natural world, but God provided manna in the morning and quail in the evening. And it's a beautiful moment, isn't it? And the people are happy for at least a while. Now, we're told that the whole time they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, God provided their daily needs. Now, the people are only supposed to take enough for that day, and then on the day before the Sabbath, they're supposed to take enough for 2 days so that they can keep the Sabbath holy. And in our own lives, I wonder, do we trust God for the daily needs in our life? Remember when Jesus was talking to disciples and teaching them about prayer, our Lord's Prayer, he says, and we say, give us this day our daily bread, not chicken, but daily bread, right? Daily bread, not a week's supply, not longer than that, but daily bread in our life. And Jesus said, your Father knows all the things that you need. Consider the grass of the field, how it's here and then it's gone, or consider the birds of the air, not a sparrow falls to the ground, but your Heavenly Father knows about it, and God cares about you because you're more important than them. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. In our own life, do we seek the daily bread of life, and do we trust God for our daily needs? And someone once said, where God guides, God provides. And in our own life, haven't we been tested a time or two, and God met our needs, and that through that need, our avenue of trust is deepened in relationship. I don't know where the chapters are in your life, but one chapter always comes back to me when I think about my needs, and it was in graduate school. And I was in graduate school, and I had to leave the first semester because I had some family issues back home. And so I went home, and then after a month or so, those family needs had settled themselves, and I was ready to go back the second semester. So I called up the registrar, and I said, can I come back the second semester? And she said, well, your place is ready for you, but we don't have a place for you to stay. And I said, well, well, I said, that's a problem. Do you have any ideas where I might stay? And she said, well, there are some people around the community here that rent their homes. And so I thought to myself, well, you know, that doesn't much help. Now, you have to remember this, I hate to tell you, but this is before the internet, okay? This is before Craigslist and all those kinds of things. So I had no way of getting a newspaper or anything else. And so I decided I was going to sort of step out in faith. So it was at Yale in New Haven. And I got in my, you ready for this, Volkswagen Squareback. Now, for those of you who don't remember what this looked like, this is an SUV before an SUV, except it was not dependable. This was an older Volkswagen. And so with a great deal of faith, I got in the, it was a great surf car, by the way, but I was no surfing in Pennsylvania where I was. So I had to travel from Pennsylvania to Connecticut in New Haven. And so I started out early in the morning, and thank God I made it, and then prayed the whole way, you know, where am I going to stay? And so I got there. It was sort of late in the afternoon, because that's as early as I could get there. And I went to register, got everything taken care of for my classes. And then I said, oh, by the way, you remember, I don't have a place to stay. And she said, yes, you know what you need to do is just go down and talk to some people. And I said, well, you know, I don't have any place to stay tonight, and I don't have money for a hotel. So she said, well, just try that. And so if you don't know New Haven has sort of really poor area and a really rich area, not much in between. And so I wanted to be safe, and I wanted to be comfortable for my studies. So I drove down next to the Divinity School, and it's this road, and it was full of really big mansions like I've never seen. There weren't any mansions, even my hometown, like that. And so I found this parking spot, and it was across from this huge mansion. And I thought, well, if I'm going to get turned down, I might as well start at the top, right? So it's a bizarre thing. And it had one of those, it was had a big stone fence, and it had this gate, but the gate was open partway. And so I walked through the gate, and I went up to the door, and it was one of those wooden doors like you see in a castle with a little window there. And so I knocked on this door, and it sounded like a castle door. And this little old lady comes to the door, and she says, yes, can I help you? And I said, I'm looking for a place to stay. And she said, well, we have at times rented a room to a student. I said, well, I go to Yale Divinity School over there. And she said, well, when would you like to have the room? And I said, well, how about tonight? And she looked at me and she kind of said, well, let's sit down and have some iced tea. And I thought, well, that's not bad. Let's sit down and have some iced tea. So we sat down and we had some iced tea, and I met her daughter who was going to go out to the University of Arizona in marine biology, and we chatted, and after a little while, the lady said, well, you seem like a nice enough young man. She said, let me show you the room that we have. And so she goes, and I literally mean, there was this circular staircase up this tower on the one side of this castle, and the top of the tower was a room. She said, will this do? I said, overlooking the garden. I said, I think this will do. So in my hour of need, God provided this room, and then I talked to the other students at school, at graduate school, and they said, where are you staying? And I said, you're not going to believe this. I'm staying in this, like, castle overlooking a garden. You know? They said, how did you land that? I said, you're not going to believe this. So anyway, in our hour of need, sometimes God stretches us to the point where he meets our need, and then we are better able, as our faith is strengthened, to meet the next chapter in life. And I know that whatever you're facing, whether it's a financial need, an illness, and a chapter of grief in your life, that God is present with us, and God is meeting our needs. Sometimes it's just for today, and sometimes it's just in the hour that we need it. So trust God for your daily needs. Where God guides, God will provide. In fact, take a moment, turn to someone and say, where God guides, God provides. Turn to someone else and loudly say, because you've been dying to speak up the whole time, where God guides, God will provide. And that's one of the secrets to happiness and contentment. And the second thing is to keep your priorities aligned with God's priorities. Now, when God provided this manna in the wilderness and the quail, God specifically told them to only take enough for each day, except for the day before the Sabbath, the day of preparation, when they're to take enough for 2 days and even prepare it so they could honor God and to keep the Sabbath holy, to not work on the Sabbath. When I was growing up, we really did that sort of thing, right? There was restaurants were closed, the gas stations were closed, and I know you need daily needs, but people really kept that at the center of life more. Now, some people were overcome with greed. I know you're not going to believe this. Some people were overcome with greed, and they were, after all, hungry. So they went out, and they got more than enough for a day, and they tried to hoard it someplace. And they got up the next morning, and they found that it was full of maggots, and it smelled. So that made the whole tent a problem, right? So God tested them in that way. And I think there's a sense in which God tests us both in the scarcity of life and the abundance of life. I mean, there might be a chapter in life where you're going through a difficult time and things are really scarce, and then you might go through a chapter in life where there's all kinds of abundance. I've always asked God to test me by winning the lottery. That's a test I would have faced. Apparently, I'm not strong enough for that because that chapter in my life has never come. But in any case, sometimes we're tested with scarcity. Sometimes we're tested with abundance. Are we going to be able to share what we have with others so that they have enough? So if people were hoarding, then others weren't going to have enough. So God wanted them to take care of other people, to be concerned about other people, and then to honor the Sabbath, to keep the Lord's Day first and to keep the Lord's Day holy and to be able to rest and take time with family and to take time with the Lord. And so often in our lives, we get our priorities switched around too, don't we? I mean, it's so easy in a world that is possessed with success, with fame, with all the notoriety. We look in all the magazines, the success kinds of stories in life. But Jesus once again said this, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. Maybe not fame and fortune, but the things that you need. And many times you see the people with fame and fortune don't have lives that we'd like to have anyway, right? So their lives are often sort of coming apart at the seams. So how do we keep our priorities straight? Well, I think we keep it aligned with God's word. We keep God first in our life. We honor the Sabbath. We keep it holy. We rest in that time. And then we keep God, then family, and then work in that order. And there's other things. Look at God's word and read it every day. And when we do that, it's sort of like wandering in the wilderness. We can sort of look at our compass and check our life and align our in our lives and to make sure we're doing that. So the question today for us is, you know, if you're sort of wrestling with happiness or contentment, or even if you're not, you find that these two principles, these two secrets of life that the Israelites wrestled with in their journey of faith, to be able to trust God for our daily needs, and then to be able to align our goals with the priorities of the Word of God, align our priorities with God's priorities. So in closing, I'll just ask you how well you're doing in those things. And if you think about trust for a moment, I mean, there is Paul in prison, and as he's writing in prison to a church that's going through quite a bit, he writes to them, and he says this. He says, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The secret is to lean into God's strength. And you and I can trust God that God will meet our daily needs in life. And then finally, in our own priorities, we need to have the priorities that God would have us and not to hoard things. The people had to work. Moses didn't say you didn't have to work. They had to go out every day and they had to pick up the manna and they had to pick up the quail. So God's not saying don't work. They didn't win the Egyptian lottery. There's daily work to be done, but we need to keep God's day as a holy day and put God first in our lives. And you think for a moment about Jesus and Jesus' priorities. When Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, going without food, and the tempter came to him and tempted him to take the stones and turn them into bread, Jesus responded in words that echo Moses' recollection to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And you and I need to put God's word and God's will first in our lives. So in our own life, whatever your chapter you're in right now, maybe it's a time of need, maybe it's a time of abundance, know that whatever we're going through, that we can find happiness, we can find contentment by trusting in God, that wherever God guides us, God will provide for us. The second thing is to align our priorities with God's word, and when we do, we're going to find our hearts and lives centered. Doesn't mean we'll never go through adversity and challenge, but it does mean that God will be there, and we'll know that God's presence is with us. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about our lives and the chapters of our lives like a journey of faith, like Moses and the children of Israel. Sometimes we fight against the shackles of difficulty and adversity, and sometimes we see your miraculous hand at work. Other times we feel like we're wandering through the wilderness of life, and we just feel like we don't have enough for each and every day, and we're running in circles. We know that you're there. And sometimes we go into the promised land, but we find that there's new battles to face. But help us to lean into your strength. Help us to trust you for our daily needs and to know that if we align our priorities with your priorities, that things will go well. They may not go perfectly, but your presence, your power will be in us and we'll follow your plan. We pray you help us to do this through your power and to your glory. And all God's people said, amen.